Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. If you are a visitor, please know that you are an honored guest. We'd ask that you take a little white card out of the pew in front of you and give us a name and an address so we might have a record of your attendance. A wrong turn. You know, I'm guilty. You know, when I'm in the car driving somewhere, I won't admit that I've taken a wrong turn. I don't know about you all, but I'll just keep driving. And eventually, I'll get to where I need to be. Have you ever taken a wrong turn? What about taking a wrong turn in life? Yeah, that's a little bit more serious than perhaps taking a wrong turn while driving. Unless, years ago, Dorothy and I were out in Los Angeles, and I'm driving, made a right-hand turn, and I'm driving down the road. And there's like four lanes. And all of a sudden, I see four lanes of cars coming at me. I was on a one-way street, and I was going the wrong way. It's like that joke about the old man driving down the freeway, and he gets a call from his wife and says, "Be careful, John. I heard on the news that there's a car going the wrong way down the freeway." He said, "Well, I don't know where you heard that. There's more than one." But what about a friend? Do you have a friend or a family member that's taken a wrong turn? In Galatians chapter 6, I want to look at verse 1 and 2 real quick if you want to turn there. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Have you ever watched someone that you love take a wrong turn in life? Too often when this takes place, perhaps we become kind of paralyzed with fear and awkwardness, not knowing exactly what to do, what to say, how to help. So this morning, I want to give each of us, and myself included, some biblical advice when we see a friend or a loved one, a family member, take a wrong turn in life. Number one, do something. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? When we see a friend or a family member, a loved one, take a wrong turn in their life, we should do something. But the problem is, many times, we simply don't know what to do. But here's one thing that we all can do. And that is to pray. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pray. There is tremendous power in prayer. And James tells this in James chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed." You know, too many times when we see a loved one or a friend or someone that we're close to take a wrong turn, we want to give them what for, don't we? We want to get right in their face and tell them, hey, you're doing this for the wrong reason. You're going down the wrong path. You're going to end in tragedy. But too many times when we do that, we drive that person away. But if we pray for that person, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, James says here that we need to be at work in our prayers. Now, I fully understand that simple praying is not going to pull someone out of the fire. But you never know. So the question is this: what should we pray for? First of all, we should pray for wisdom on how to approach the situation. Seems logical. James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When we see a loved one doing something that we know is going to be harmful, let's pray for them. Let us seek it through prayer wisdom on how to approach the situation. But many times, you know, we want to bring a hammer when a soft word would perhaps work better. We should pray for God's providence to be in that person's life. John 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, Jesus praying for his disciples, but thou should keep them from the evil. Do we pray for those that our loved ones, our family, our friends, that we see perhaps taking a wrong turn? Do we pray for them that God's providence would keep them from harm? Perhaps we should also pray for their own spiritual awakening. Do we pray that they might, like the prodigal son, come to realize that they're on the wrong path? Matthew 16, verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What should we be willing to give for our souls? If we see a friend, a family member, a loved one who's taken the wrong turn, who's heading down the wrong path, should we not pray for their spiritual awakening? You know, like the prodigal son, you know, the son was not going to change his ways until he basically hit rock bottom. And then he come to himself, said, you know, the servants in my father's house has it better than I do. Maybe it takes someone hitting rock bottom before they'll listen to what we may have to say. But let us pray for the spiritual awakening that perhaps they might turn away from the wrong path. But in this, we need to remember our own limitations. You know, we cannot make someone do what they simply refuse and do not want to do. We can't make them. We need to remember that we do have limitations. You know, God has given each and every one of us free will. John writes in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." We have free will. And the loved one that's on the wrong path, they also have free will. We need to understand that we have limitations. You know, the sad reality of all of this is that many times we want salvation for another person, a loved one or a family member, a friend. We want salvation for them more than they want it for themselves. Many times we say, I don't understand how they could be doing this. They've been raised better than this. You know, we say all kinds of things. But there's limitations to what we can do. Do something. And that something is to pray. Pray on how we approach the situation. Pray that God's providence will take place in that person's life. And pray that they will have a spiritual awakening like the prodigal son. And we need to remember our limitations. We cannot make someone do what they simply do not want to do. Secondly, say something. You know, we all like that part of it, don't we? Many times we love to tell somebody what they're doing wrong. Let me tell you what you ought to be doing. But when we say something, we need to say something to let them know that we love them and that we are concerned for them. Perhaps not, let me tell you what. It should be in love and concern. And how do we accomplish this? Many times it's best at, you know, face to face. Go to the person. Go to the loved one. Go to the friend. Go to the family member who you see it's on the wrong path, who's made a wrong turn. Go to them face to face and let them know that you love them, you care for them, you're concerned for them, and that you're there to offer your help and guidance. You know, at first they may totally reject it. But if we don't try, then that person or that loved one, that friend, may not ever get back on the right path. We cannot go, you know, and blast them about all of the things that you see wrong in their life. That's not going to gain you anything. It's not going to bring them back. Face to face. A phone call. I would assume that just about everybody here has a cell phone. Or you still perhaps have a phone in your home. I have one, but it's basically worthless. Make a phone call. And basically say the same thing that you would say face to face. loved one, friend, look, I love you, I'm concerned about you. What can we do to help? And then we can go on and maybe just writing a card, letting that person see that you care. You know, the ladies here, they haven't for a while now, but they used to back in the wintertime, they would have a card-making class where they'd make these little cards thinking of you, happy birthday, happy anniversary. It doesn't really cost much of any, well, now the stamps are like almost 80 cents a piece now. But send a thank you card or I'm thinking of you card. And let them know that you're there for them. You know, the old saying is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's very true. You can be the brightest, the smartest person in the room. The person's not going to care unless they see that you care. And the key to this on saying something is not to speak to others about the situation with the loved one, the friend, simply unless it is for assistance. Proverbs 17, verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. How many times do we see a loved one or a friend, someone that has taken the wrong turn? Do we go out and broadcast that? We shouldn't, but many times we do. Solomon writes in Proverbs 17, verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. In other words, we're not broadcasting what that person has done wrong. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. The key is not to speak to other people about the situation. The key is to love and show concern, compassion, understanding, trying to help that person to overcome whatever the situation they may find themselves in, whatever wrong turn that they've made. But many times, you know, we might need assistance because they may be doing something or involved in something that we have no clue, no understanding, or no knowledge of. So we need to get advice. But even then, I would suggest not giving out names. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, I don't believe that this verse here is telling us that love is simply going to cover over the sins, whether the person repents or not. But the idea here is, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for the love shall cover the multitude of sin. Too many times if someone wrongs us, what do we want to do? We want to get back at them. We want to make their life miserable. But that's not what we should be doing. Because of our love for one another, for the love for our brothers and sisters, we don't charge them perhaps with their sin. What Christ say? when he was hanging on the cross. He could have been hanging there and saying, "See what you people have done to me? I'm glad that every one of you are going to go to hell and I'll never have to see you again." But to the very people that crucified him, he asked the Father to do what? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When someone wrongs us, because someone has taken a wrong turn and perhaps done wrong to us, do we try to get back at them? Or do we say, "Father, forgive them"? And above all things, have fervent, literally eager, earnest, constant love. Do we love our brothers and sisters constantly, earnestly, eagerly? You know, it's sad when you see brothers and sisters not speaking to one another, don't want to be sitting on the same pew with them. Is that fervent love? Is that earnest, eager, constant love? So we have, first of all, do something. Pray. Secondly, say something. Let them know that you love them, that you're concerned for them, and you're there if they need you. And thirdly, be something. Be something. And the first thing we should be is faithful. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." Be faithful. When it's talking about burdens there, it's talking about, you know, weighed down, heavy. Many times people make wrong decisions. Many times people make the wrong turn because of the weight, the anxiety, the depression, the heavy load that they may be carrying that maybe we don't even know of. Be faithful. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy." Be something. Be something, because we are a chosen generation, a chosen nation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Let us be those things for those of our brothers and sisters or our loved ones that are in need because of a heavy load that they may be carrying or the wrong turn that they've taken in their lives. Be something. Be faithful. And be gentle. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? Again, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Meekness, gentleness, humility. Do we go in humility? Do we go in meekness? Do we go in gentleness? Or do we want to bring the sledgehammer? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Love, compassion, understanding, but speaking the truth in love. Boy, you're going to go to hell if you don't straighten yourself up. That it may be true, but do you think that's going to get that loved one to change? But if we go in love and compassion and understanding, maybe we can draw them out. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt. But you know what? But a lot of times we like to bring chili powder, don't we? Instead of being seasoned with salt, we bring the fire. I hope and I pray that God can count on us as being wise so that we may help our loved ones, our family members, brothers and sisters in Christ who have perhaps taken a wrong turn. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And we win souls by love, compassion, understanding, gentleness, humility, meekness. Verses 22 and 23, last verse. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. What do you think Jude here is talking about? And if some have compassion, making a difference, when we see someone taking the wrong turn, let us be compassionate. And then there are some we need to instill fear and pull them out of the fire. Do something, say something, and be something. That's how we help someone who's taken the wrong turn. Can we do that? Do you think that that is something that each and every one of us are able to do? Because this world is a wicked place. Let us be compassionate and loving and gentle when we see someone in error. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, the love of Christ, the willingness of him to die on the cross, shows the compassion, the gentleness, and the love that God has for each and every one.